Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood, tips and tricks,
products we love,
and brands that we can't live without. Let's get into it. So this week we're chatting about when birth doesn't necessarily go to plan.
I mean, does it ever go to plan?
No. Yeah, good point, G, actually. But I guess when your birthing plan, the goalposts move and you end up having a completely different birth and what that does to you mentally and physically.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, did you have a birth plan?
Oh, yeah. I mean, obviously, yeah. With Luna, it was very much like I wanted to have a natural birth. I wanted to only use paracetamol. I remember going, I'm only going to use paracetamol, and I didn't even want to have gas and air. And, you know, I just had these visions of having her in the water and she would just come floating out of my vagina and I'd be like, here's my beautiful baby. And I've still got my winged eyeliner in perfect position. I mean,
I had a blow dry.
Yeah, completely deluded.
So I always find it really interesting. Where has this come from that everybody wants to have this like natural birth and they don't want to take any drugs? Like where has this ideal come from?
I mean, I guess it's to do with not wanting to potentially pollute the this is supposed to be the most natural thing that we do. You know, people say, oh, the birth, the most natural thing that a mother can do. It's like, oh, no, it's not. It's like ripping a large watermelon through our fannies. I mean, I can't believe I just said fannies, but I did. I guess I understand what you're saying, but I think people want to keep it as pure as possible because a baby's really pure. But
yeah,
really, you need as much help as possible.
Yeah, because I feel like I didn't have a plan as such. And when I was in the NCT class and they were telling me all about, you know, to avoid the, you know, I think epidural went up on the board in red, you know, like avoid and,
no!
and whatever the other things were all up on the board in red. And then, I don't know, breathing was in green and, you know, all that kind of stuff. I just sort of looked at her and thought, whatever.
Did you?
Yeah, I never had this like, oh, I just want it all to be natural and love. I never had that ideal in my head. I didn't have any kind of plan and I thought I would just take what I needed.
Okay.
On the day.
That is what happened to you, though. That is your experience.
Yeah.
That was your reality, right?
But I didn't have a plan to go wrong.
Yeah.
I had an induction, which I didn't obviously plan for. No one really plans for that, do they?
No.
So I guess that was the start of a birth that I didn't think would happen because I didn't realise that when you got to a certain point, then you'd have to be induced. And obviously, I didn't have that like, whoa, I'm in labour. I didn't have that start.
In hindsight, your way, for me, should have been the way to do it because the fact that you were so fluidy. I mean, I remember us walking around, you know, the park before babies and pregnant, and you were like, you know, I'm just going to see what happens. I'm just going to go with the flow. And I remember thinking, is she really a first time mum or has she knocked out six babies somewhere else? Because you were so relaxed.
Yeah, I don't know if I was relaxed or
no,
just
you were,
like,
mate. You didn't even make a squeak through labour. You went to like Scientology and just shut up.
No, I'm not saying about being relaxed. I'm just saying in general, like not really having a plan.
Yeah.
Because then I didn't feel like the plan failed.
Yeah, that's the right way to do it.
Yeah, because I think that's what, you know, talking to friends and stuff who felt like they had a really traumatic birth, it's often been because it hasn't gone as
they
would
it.
Have planned. It's not necessarily been bad, but it just wasn't how they expected it to
yeah,
be.
Yeah, and that is exactly my experience first time round. You know, I put a lot of my postnatal blues down to the fact that I feel like I had been through a car crash.
Yeah.
You know, that real, real trauma of being slammed with a 3-day labour and having, you know, nobody sat me down and said, you know, there's a possibility that you're going to have the baby wrenched out with forceps.
No,
we're
going to
cut you in episiotomy. Mm. You know, this is going to happen. There's going to be, you know, suddenly it went from a kind of peaceful environment to surgeons in the room and the baby's heartbeat was dropping. And that was terrifying for me.
Terrifying.
And it stayed with me a long time. Second time round, I think I was was definitely more prepared for the fact that the plan might not go to plan. And I did hypnobirthing with an amazing woman called Hypnobirthing Rosie on Instagram. She came round to the house. And even though I had an epidural again the second time round, I did it a lot earlier. And I used the hypnobirthing technique, the breathing, really, really helped me through the labour. Everything else, I was just like, get the drugs into me.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, to be honest, this time round, obviously, I'm speaking now. When this goes out,
you're probably gonna have a baby,
and who knows what will have happened. But in my head, I'm thinking I won't go for so long without drugs.
Yeah.
I'll just take them when I think I need them.
Get them into you, G.
Yeah, exactly. But was there not a point when you were pregnant with Kit when you might have had to have a C-section?
Yeah, do you remember?
Yeah, I do remember that.
And because he was breech, and it was like 38 and a half weeks or something, and baby and Kit was still breech. And at that point, they were like, look, we need to prepare you for a C-section. So I was having those discussions with you. So again, in my head, I was like, oh, is it going to be a C-section? But then he turned and it was all right in the end.
And were you quite prepared to have a C-section?
I didn't want it.
You didn't?
No, I didn't want it because I didn't want... For me, it was about cutting through, you know, seven layers of muscle or whatever it was. And the recovery time can't drive for 6 weeks afterwards and all of that, you know, personally. But some people love them.
Yeah, no, I know, exactly. You speak to a lot of people who do.
And the person that we're chatting to today, well, the people that we're chatting to today, our first ever couple on the podcast, she ended up having two C-sections, both in very, very different circumstances. They were an absolute joy to chat to when we got together with them a while ago. So I think we should get on with it.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
So, nothing makes Georgia and I happier than a couple who are clearly very in love. And having spent the last 15 minutes with the two people that are sitting opposite us today, we can tell that the chemistry is off the scale. He is a former boy band member from JLS. She is a dancer supremo. She is also mum, or they are also parents to two amazing kids, Ace, who is four, and Kiara, who is one. They live on a farm. They have pigs. They have loads of other animals that they're going to tell us all about today. It's JB and Chloe Gill.
Hello. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having us.
This is amazing. Such a treat. A couple in
our
the studio. Our first couple.
Yes.
So thanks so much for coming in and chatting to us. We really love you guys. We think what you've done with your farm and your life and your kids and stuff is really impressive. So I kind of just want to talk about, you know, what life is like for you guys out on the farm.
Well,
mental.
Yeah, it's crazy. We're always sort of dodging and ducking and diving and doing all sorts of stuff. For me, like you mentioned, we have pigs on the farm. We also do turkey seasonally as well. That's probably our biggest commercial operation, if you want to call it that. So we have that every single year pretty much, and Chloe kind of handles all of the admin stuff, and she's a whiz with anything organizational. And then I try and get my hands dirty, but I'm getting better, but I'm not the most skilled when it comes to getting my hands dirty. But we between the two of us, we kind of handle everything on the farm. So we make sure that the turkeys that we have and obviously the pigs, we've got cats, we've got a dog, we've got, you know, all sorts
two
of
kids.
Two chickens and the two kids.
Wow.
So yeah, between us, we kind of make it work. And if I'm away working, then Chloe kind of mucks in and gets her hands dirty, which is incredible.
With the baby in the sling and the and the food. And, yeah, that's all me.
I was just going to say, with the baby on the boob as well.
The babe's on the boob, the babe's on the back, the other one's running in front of me. No, mummy, I'm finding poo. And then I've got the chicken feed. Oh, yeah, it's all going on. And then I'm crying. Oh, my gosh, there's chickens out. Oh, yeah, it all goes on.
It sounds fun and games, though.
It does. So did you have the farm before you started a family, or was that something that you started after?
Well, when I left my family home and moved to where I am now, And then shortly thereafter, we were together, but we weren't married. Shortly thereafter, we got married. Shortly thereafter that, we had Ace. And we probably had the farm running about a year and a half.
Yeah.
Year and a half or so. And to be honest, when I moved out of my family home, it wasn't necessarily the aim that we would set up a farm or I would set up a farm or anything like that. But I think over time it just became, us trying to be resourceful, really. We had a bit of land, and obviously, I'd changed sort of jobs, so to speak, or changed career in terms of not being with JLS anymore. And I kind of wanted to find something, firstly, to do with the land and the space on the farm,
yep.
But then also kind of shape my career going forward. And I was offered a role on CBeebies down on the farm,
yes!
Which is really exciting because I knew that I had kind of had plans for the farm, and that was right at the very beginning.
Yeah.
And you know, Chloe and a couple of members of family as well kept encouraging me not to sort of, I guess, neglect the entertainment side of,
sure.
of, you know, my career and the things that I'd already done that had given me an incredible platform. And so we kind of got to the point over about 2 years
yeah.
of trying to mix the two, basically,
yep.
and making that the focal point. And yeah, the rest, as they say, is history.
And how did you guys meet? Because we heard the story that you were an amazing dancer, but you were dancing professionally at the time.
Yeah.
And you got the gig to be JLS's backing dancer. Is that right?
So I was dancing on X Factor.
Right.
We met on X Factor, but I've never danced for JLS.
Okay, sorry. That's my bad. Google.
Bad researcher. I wanted to be, well, we'd made a decision, hadn't we, that we... In our relationship, we wanted to be our relationship, and I never wanted to be just the girlfriend that was dating the pop star.
Yeah.
Because I'd worked so hard in my career. So we decided never to obviously mix the two. But yeah, we met on X Factor. He just loved me from the moment he met me.
And obviously, as a dancer, your body is your job.
Oh, yeah.
And so how did you make that decision to start trying for a baby and obviously everything that comes with that?
I mean, that's a shock to your body.
Isn't it?
Abs are gone. Body looking amazing is gone when you've got those massive boobs. I had like double A lovely little boobs. Now I've got these massive jugs that are full
I'm
of
just
milk.
Looking at them now, actually.
Really? I mean, they're full of milk. Well, they're calming down now. But I mean, it's just your whole body just goes, doesn't it? I mean, then you might get stretch marks and you're just like, oh no, that bikini that I need to get into don't look like that anymore. But then you have your children and I think you then think, oh, it's all worth it. I'm so much different now having a second than my first. I think before I was like, oh, there's a stretch mark. Oh, no, how am I going to get rid of it? But now once I've had Kiara, I'm like, oh, well, that's it. That is what it is. I know what's going to happen. I think you've kind of experienced it. You know what's coming. But, yeah, that dancer body.
I'd also point out as well, I think, you know, Chloe is a very maternal woman, you know, and I think that made a bit of a difference. Like, we always talked about family and what it would be like and so on and so forth. We didn't necessarily, I guess, actively plan to have Ace, but obviously it was a, you know, very welcome surprise. And you know, we married at that point, and you know, we wanted to have a family together, so
yeah.
You know, it kind of was the right time for us. And we believe, well, I believe very much, we both believe very much that these things happen when they're supposed to happen.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
you know, and,
yeah.
And I'm sure other people will say, you know, you can plan as much as you like.
Yeah.
Sometimes it doesn't happen. And then when you're not thinking about it, bang, straight away, you know. So, you know, very much the case for us. Kiara, a bit more thought went into that because, you know, we wanted to have a second, and we were definitely very much open to that. There was a lot going on at the time in terms of work and with the farm and stuff. But
sure.
You were
ready for it.
Yeah.
And
let's go back to your first pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
How was the labour for you?
So I'm not going to have any drugs. I'm going to have a natural baby. I didn't really plan anything. I just knew I wasn't having a C-section. That's in my head. And I think I just was like, that's it. This is what we're going to do. This is how it's going to be. It's going to be amazing. I had a really good pregnancy. I love being pregnant.
Did you?
I love it. I love being that fat. I think it's amazing. I'm in my bikini on holiday and I'm like, yes, take a picture of me. I can sit there and I can put my cocktail or my mocktail on my tummy. And I just feel like it's so great. I just love that part.
Chloe, I love this from you.
Yeah, I do.
I was so trim. I was so six pack. And then I just thought, oh, well, I just got to embrace it. You might as well. I'm never going to be able to sit and eat 5 packets of crisps if I want to.
Which is what I've just done today.
Well, why not?
She's just done that, yeah.
You're pregnant. Why not? No one can say anything. So I just loved it. I was literally rolling around. We'd just gone to Seychelles and I was like, yes, take photos of me.
Our official honeymoon.
Yeah, it was official. Yeah. But
I was in my head, I'd had this, that was it, that was what's going to happen. So I went into labour naturally. I was 11 days over. And I was like, I'm done. Mm. Like, come on now, come on. 11 days over.
Did they induce you?
No, they said they were going to induce me the next day if I hadn't. And I was like, listen, you need to get moving, because I didn't want to be induced.
Did you do anything to bring it on?
Oh, trust me, I was doing it all, babe. I was on all fours. I was doing the bouncing on the ball. I was doing everything. Anything they told you to do, I was doing. Drinking that
curry.
Tea, everything. Yeah. Everything that was on that list, I did it all that day. I was like, let's go. Let's
I had
move.
You marching around, didn't yeah. I? We went on a, like the you longest did. Walk ever. And in hindsight, she was actually in labour.
Oh, wow.
She actually started contractions.
Oh, that's great.
Like, oh, babe, just slow down. And I was like, babe, if you want to get this thing out, we literally need to keep going. And then, oh, in hindsight, literally just like, babe, I should have taken it a little bit easier on you.
But I was, yeah, we were doing it all, everything, weren't we? Literally everything in the book they were saying, do it, do it, do it. So I went into labour and I was at home and I was like, oh, I think I'm in labour. You don't really know, do you, at first? You're like, oh, I've got my period pain thing. And I think, yeah, I think I'm in labour. Our friends came over and they're like, Chloe, I think you're really in labour now. And I'm like leaning over, I think I need to.
What, contractions coming thick and fast at this point? Yeah.
And I'm walking upstairs showing the nursery. And then everyone's looking at me going, and I hang on a minute. And I was standing there for a minute. And, you know, I was in having, okay, you need to go to hospital. So I went to hospital and they said, you're not really dilating.
I think you probably only one or something at the time.
They went, go away. So I was like,
Nothing worse than being sent away from hospital.
So I didn't go very far. I just went, we went to stay in a little hotel, didn't we? Because we went down the road. And then didn't sleep, as you're just tossing and turning, whatever. And then I go back into hospital and they said, now, I said, I'm fully ready now. You know, when you really feel in pains and you're only 4 centimetres.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So that just was longing out. I don't even remember, really, to be honest. We were there, 72 hours as a neighbour or something outrageous?
Oh, my God.
It was outrageous. It just didn't happen. So it wasn't happening.
So just talk me through, because you probably can't remember too much of it, but were you contracting the whole time?
Whole time.
But not dilating?
Not dilating. Yeah. Just contracting, not dilating. And then I'd been monitored and I couldn't get in the water. I wanted to get into the water. Yeah. It wasn't happening.
Did you have any pain relief over
No, I wasn't having anything. I was just like, I'm fine. I wanted to be in pain. I think maybe being a dancer, I don't know, like being in pain in a way. That's a really weird thing to say. I've always put my body through pain, always.
So you saw it as more like a mission, like I can get through this, I can do it.
Yeah, I knew there was an end point and I needed to be in the pain. I went, I need to feel what they're talking about. I want to know what it means and I'll just be in the pain. And then I remember them breaking my waters and then all of a sudden it started getting a bit crazy and I just had some gas in there because I was like, okay, I need to just, it was getting more intense. And then all of a sudden he's fitting scrubs on and they're asking me to sign something. And I was just like, what's happening? And then I burst out crying and the midwife went, it's okay, you can cry now. Like, you've been through a lot. And I was like, what are we doing? And he's putting scrubs on and he's panicking. So now I'm thinking, now this is getting serious because he's starting to panic and he's cool as anything. He's literally like so horizontal, it's a joke. And then next thing we were in theatre, weren't we?
So what was... So C-section?
C-section, emergency
so
C-section.
What happened?
Cord 3 times around his neck, wasn't coming down, and that's why. But I think I had a bleed.
So
he'll tell you.
Yeah, so basically, we went in, as Chloe said, in the morning, and they wanted to monitor her just to kind of see the heart rate. And throughout the whole, that morning, probably from about 7-ish, when we went in, till about maybe 10, 11, they had her linked up to the ECG and all that sort of stuff, monitoring and checking the baby and so on. And every time she had a contraction, his heart rate would dip.
Yeah.
And obviously, as time drew on, it kept dipping lower and lower and lower. And they said, basically, if it goes below, I think, 70 or something, then they're kind of concerned and they need to start thinking about other things. And they kept asking us, you know, what we wanted to do. And we were like, you guys know our birth plan. We don't want to have a cesarean, but if it's not an option, then obviously let's do it. Let's
get
go.
This baby out. Yeah.
So at that point, she'd still not. So this is probably 24-hour period now. So at that point, we were like, her waters hadn't broken yet, but obviously they could see she was actively in labour. So that's when they broke her waters. And I don't know whether that was. That probably caused a bit of pain and distress to both of them at the time.
Mm.
And as you can imagine, obviously the waters go, everything drops down.
Of course.
And because of the cord and things that we couldn't actually see. I think that caused a bleed, yeah. Mm. So a slight tear, and obviously anything that they that see, that's, yeah, then oh, yeah. They kind of really, really worry about that. So then they came in and they were then, and I was worried because I could see it, and I'm not squeamish, I don't have any issues with blood or anything like that, but I know that that's not normal. Mm. So I was just saying, okay, what's going on now? And then all of a sudden there's people buzzing around. It went from having the doctor and the midwife, because we were midwife-led at the time, and then the doctor had to be called in. He spoke to us a couple of times, and it went from being just the two of them and a couple other sort of people, you know, buzzing about, yeah, to being about 10 people and an anaesthetist, all of these people in the room, and we were just like, okay, something's going
wrong. This is serious.
And so they put something in your face, basically just sign on, and it's like, okay, guys, we're married, so you're going to have to give it to me, because it's just, she's not going to sign it. Yeah. Not because she didn't want to, but just like, this is so
she's
much going on.
She's completely out of it.
Give it to him. I can't focus on that right now. Can you sign? No. He's my he.
Yeah.
So was there a moment that you thought, oh, this is not what we want, and, you know, I don't want to do this. You're the husband, but you're watching your wife go through enormous amounts of pain, and what were you thinking at that point?
I mean, I was just remaining hopeful. I mean, I'm ever the optimist, to be honest. And as I say, for me, I think because we'd had such a great pregnancy, or Chloe had such a great pregnancy, I, as I say, I'm ever the optimist. I always expected it to go to plan. You know, it is what it is. This is what she wants to do.
Yeah.
You can deviate from the plan a little bit, but kind of it's going to be fine. So I always thought it would be fine. And then as time went on, obviously, it just seemed to, there was something not quite right. And then, as I say, every time they monitored her, the heart rate kept dropping and so on. So I just said to, I remember saying to the doctor, don't give us an option. Don't say, what do you want to do? You know what we want to do. We want to do it naturally, and that's what we've always planned. If that's not an option, just do what we need to do.
Yeah.
So I think at that point, he was just like, okay, cool, I'm going to do it. We're going to go. And then we went through to theatre. The anaesthetist was actually really, like, he was spot on. He was so good. And he was complaining a little bit because obviously Chloe's still having contractions. She's in a lot of pain. And he was trying to find the right spot to do the lumbar. I can't remember what it's called now.
The incision.
Yeah, in her back, and that
spinal tap.
Which was fine. And
he couldn't get it in, could he?
He struggled a little bit because of the position you're in, and then he was happy with that, and that was all fine. And then obviously you started to calm down a little bit, and then I remember.
Do you remember this? Were you quite hyped up at this point?
I don't even like hospitals. I don't like blood. I don't even like needles. So I'm just literally like, honestly, I don't even know. I've had
worst
two babies.
Nightmare.
Yeah. I was literally like, what? That's why I just needed him to be there, because I was just like, he's the only thing that's going to get me through this, because I don't even like seeing people with their outfits on. It's just what I'm like.
What, you mean the scrubs?
Yeah. And they go, I remember when he came out. Yeah, when he came out, when Ace came out, because we didn't know it was Ace, and the screen was up, they said, do you want to lower the screen? And he and I went, no, I don't want to see anything, because I'm thinking, blood, they've cut me open. That's how I'm feeling like. And he's going, nope, she will see her baby. He got really worried that I basically didn't want anything to do with the baby. Oh, that's what he thought.
Yeah.
And he went, nope, she needs to do skin to skin now. Can you give her the baby, please? And I was just like, just calm down, because I'm thinking that I'm going to see my stomach open or something. I don't know what I'm thinking. But you worried, didn't you?
At that point, when we started doing the spinal tap and all that sort of stuff, I basically just switched off, which is not normal for me. I
was switched off in what way?
In the way, in the fact that I wasn't calm anymore.
Okay.
I would have been if you'd seen me, but inside I was worried. And that never happens.
No,
ever. So I didn't know what was going to happen, firstly. I was like thinking, you know, I'll lose one, two, both. I just didn't know what was going to happen.
Oh, wow.
So honestly, at that point, I was just like, I don't know what's going to happen here. And in hindsight, it actually was okay, because funnily enough, she ended up being fully dilated just before they were about to do the incision. And obviously, Ace was under a little bit of distress, but when he came out, he was okay. Fine. He cried straight away. No real issues, and obviously Chloe, was also fine. But I was just literally hot in my mouth. And to be honest, if the anaesthetist hadn't been such a dude, I'd have had zero footage from the moment.
Yeah, he filmed everything.
I had my phone with me.
Filmed everything.
Yeah. The anaesthetist said to me, "Where's your phone? Give me your phone." And I can't remember if it was your phone or my phone. Mine. But I gave it to him. And literally, honestly, I wasn't in the room. Well, I was, but you know what I mean?
Yeah mentally.
Just, yeah.
I was just literally concerned. About, yeah, I was concerned about Chloe, and I was just like, whatever happens, like, just getting my wife back. And as I say, like, he's got the most amazing videos and pictures of all this stuff.
God, that's incredible. He got up close and personal.
Yeah.
He's coming out and everything.
It, wow. We'd have nothing. Yeah. So I'm so grateful to him. But I mean, the team were brilliant that you know, we worked with and looked after us and stuff. But it was a lot.
That I think sounds really very traumatic.
I've got goosebumps.
Yeah. Wow.
I think it's really hard for a man.
Yeah. So that was actually, Claire, that was going to be my next question, because obviously you're going through it. Yeah. You're going through it. But we'll talk about your sort of memories from that moment. But as a man, you know, you've got to be the rock. You've got to be there to support her when, you know, and obviously if you're in a same sex couple, you know, the one who's not giving birth has to be there. But the birthing partner has to stay strong, has to stay composed. And I imagine seeing all of that, you know, it completely throws you. It's horrendous watching it.
Absolutely. And as I say, I'm not really squeamish. So any of, you know, I guess having it, had it happened naturally, I would have been there. I would have been fine. I would have been happy to be, you know, to physically get involved and stuff like that. If there's anything that Chloe needed, I'm, you know, more than happy to do all of that. But for me, you partly feel very helpless. And I mean, my mum comes from a medical profession as well, so I have an understanding of when things are not quite right and times when you need to step up and times when you just need to back off and stuff like that. And you just feel so out of control, you know, almost. Yeah. You know, and for me, it's just, I was just very, very worried. And, you know, I didn't know what the outcome was going to be. I'm very honest.
So I think it's easy, isn't it, for mums to be like, oh, well, you just didn't do it. You didn't do anything.
Yeah.
But actually, you did a lot.
Yeah.
And you went through a lot as well. And it's not just the trauma that Chloe went through. It's also that you both went through together.
100%.
Absolutely. Yeah. And for me as well, I always saw my role as being there for Chloe. Like, if she needed me to do whatever it was, no problem. She needed me to go out, fine. She needed me to speak to somebody, fine. And then, you know, as I say, when it got to that point where they were asking Chloe lots of questions and she wasn't really in that mind frame or in that space to deal with that appropriately, that for me was my job. You know, I just said to them, listen, guys, no point in you asking questions. Like, what do you need to do? And I'll go and relay it and then we'll do it or not do it. Do you know what I mean? So I was still in the room at that point.
Well done, JB.
You sound like a proper team.
I'm a bit of a diva, though. I won't do anything without him. I'm literally like, no, good. Injection? No, I need him there. Can we put the needle in? No, I need him there. Can you go and have a shower and go to the toilet? No, I need him. I'm like, no, I can't go anywhere without him, so he can't do anything to me.
During Kit's labour, my second, Dozer had to go and move the car, my husband. He was like, I'm just going to be back in a second. I'm just going to go move the car. And I was like, okay, yeah, no problem. Anyway, when he went out, I was lying facing away from the door. I heard the door go again. I was like, oh, Dozer, you're back quickly. He goes, hello, no, this is the anaesthetist. I've just come up to do the epidural. And I was like, But he's gone to move the car. And he was like, no, this is my time slot. I've got to go, just got to do it now. So I was like, okay. So I just sat on the edge. He only left me for 5 minutes during my second labour. And then when he came back, I was like, hey. He was like, oh, whoa, have you had? I was like, I've had the epidural. I can't believe I missed it. Anyway, I bought you snacks from M&S. I was like, okay, great.
I think my husband was more traumatised after my labour with Axel than I was. He was like, I'm sure I was in more pain than you.
Oh, God, James.
I was silent. I just didn't do anything. I just went into myself, silent, weird. Oh, wow. And my husband was crying. I was squeezing his hand so tight I made it bleed.
You know Scientology?
Oh, wow.
You know Scientology? Wow. She channeled it in a Scientologist at that point.
I mean, I didn't know anything about this, but I don't know. I was just silent. I just didn't speak.
Please be a screamer this this
no, labour. I've practiced.
So Chloe, for you, you've obviously got a birth plan in your head. Mm-hmm. You know, that for you, that's where it's going to go. And then it completely flips on its head 180 and you end up having an emergency C-section. So what is the recovery like after that?
Wow, it wasn't good for me. I was absolutely distraught. I was in a bad way, like mentally in a bad way, but I breastfed straight away, which was really good for me, but I was in a lot of pain. I think maybe going through the labour and then having that straight away, but he was there to pull my knickers up. He was there to everything, literally shower me. I couldn't do anything. I didn't leave that hospital for about 4 days, did I? I was in a bit, but I got an infection afterwards in my wound. I went for it. I don't think I would say I got postnatal depression, but I think I was on the edge of. And I think feeding Ace kept me going. But Jay did everything, like changing bottoms, doing. I didn't bath him for ages, did I? He did everything. But I wasn't in my head wasn't good way. I was crying a lot. I think I just had this idea of what I wanted it to be like, and it just wasn't. It was the complete opposite. And they cut through my abs, and I was gutted for that. But it took me a good, I don't know, you say it was sooner than, maybe when we went away, because we went away quite...
You went back to yourself. So we went on a holiday for the first time, like a family holiday on my side, with my mum and my brother, and like he had a little boy at the time, as I mentioned. Yep. And Ace was 5 weeks, so he's really, really young. And you were back in the room, I'd say, at that point. But she wasn't back to herself. You probably was about 5 or 6 months, I'd say.
Yeah, it took me a minute.
Yeah.
But yeah, mentally it took me a long time to get back to
being you.
Yeah.
What was coming up for you? Just a feeling of trauma?
Trauma. I kept reliving it in my head. I kept dreaming about it, just the rush of everything. I think all of a sudden then, especially for the first time, when you've got this baby and you're just like, oh my goodness, I'm responsible for everything. And I didn't feel like I was physically able myself. My boobs were hurting, everything, like just really emotional. And I just needed to have the support system. I was really lucky that I had Jay and my mum. My mum moved in for 10 days, didn't she?
Yeah.
My mum's not really like that, is she? But she came in and was doing all our ironing and everything. And
you need it, don't you?
You need it. When you have a baby, you need it. And I think especially when you're first, because you're just, oh my goodness, my whole world's just flipped. Yeah. But I think then having an infection and stuff after it just knocked me back. I thought, okay, I'm better now, and then knocked me way back. And then I had an allergic reaction to the medicine.
God, it was just one thing after
it
the
was.
Other.
It was. That's how it felt. It felt like every time we were getting somewhere, something else happened. Mm. But I mean, you get through these things and then you go and have another baby.
Exactly. So. You did it again, didn't you? And so second time round, did you plan on having a C-section, or did you think, oh, maybe I'll try and see what happens?
Second time, I refused to make a plan at all. I went, I am not. I mean, so you need to make a decision, you know, because obviously when you had a section, you can have an option of having one. I said, Mum, I'm not making a decision. No, it's not happening.
They're like, no, you need to.
No, but now you're at that time now where we need to speak to someone. Well, I'll speak to the surgeon, but I'm not making a decision. But you need to, you know, we need to either book you in or not. Not making a decision.
How many weeks was that?
That was right at the end. So I'm meeting the surgeon. I just said, well, book me in for the section and we'll see. Because I said, then the option's there. Then I'm booked in. And then if I go natural, I will. So I said, we made a date with them, didn't we? Yeah. And I said, if I go naturally, let me go. If we get to that date, then I'll have the cesarean. But I wasn't going over because then other things.
And JB, how did you feel about Chloe potentially going through labour again? Or were you, you know, did you want her to have a C-section, or did you want her to try
naturally?
No, I mean, I very much left that up to Chloe, to be honest. You know, I was pushing her a little bit on making a plan, just because you need to have
some
a plan.
Plan.
even if you change the plan, you know. But I totally agreed. I thought it was very, very sensible from our point of view to look at it like, okay, we'll keep it to this date, and if we can go naturally, obviously that's the best thing. I said the best thing, you know, would have been the best thing at the time, because it happened naturally. But you know, we weren't afraid. Obviously, now we have cesarean as part of the equation, which we didn't have for Ace, we were open to it. So we're just like, well, if that's the case, then that's fine. And actually, we also knew ultimately that we didn't want to have an emergency. So we didn't want it to start the natural process. So that was ultimately what we did not want. So we didn't want to start the process and then end up having a cesarean anyway. We were like, well, we'd rather just have the cesarean. It's what we've already had, you know, there's already a wound there. We just keep it very, very simple, you know, less stress, less drama.
Sure.
All of that. So.
And you didn't have a preference. You were like, if it happens naturally, great. If it's a C-section, we'll plan that.
I was just scared of having an emergency. That's what I was.
Fair enough. So what happened?
Had a planned. I got to the date and then walked in. But it was so strange, wasn't it? 10 o'clock, you'll be having a baby and, you know, you're going next in. And I was like, gosh, this is so strange.
Yeah, so what
so
happens
strange.
In that process?
Honestly,
I've got no
it's
idea.
So strange. You're sitting in your room, you've got you're going in, and then they check for bloods, and we didn't know what we were having. And then the lady came in, and I'd met all the surgeons had been men. And she came and she goes, I'm your doctor today. And I went, oh, but you're a female. But I've only met men, because I'd met the men. She goes, oh no, I'm on today. And I was just like, oh, Jay, we're having a girl, everyone's girl. And he went, oh, okay, well, we'll see. The anaesthetist came in, he was lovely, wasn't he? He was a guy. So we walk into the room, they've got cool music on, like they've got the radio going.
What was playing? Can you remember any tunes that were playing?
Oh,
I would have been good if it was one of your tunes, wouldn't it, JB? You know?
Just say it was.
Yeah. I think we've made a note, though.
Oh, yeah.
At home. But it was really weird. Like Chloe says, it was so weird. In fact, that gentleman who was anaesthetist, he was actually the junior. So the actual anaesthetist was that lady. And she, remember, she's telling us she had three kids and this, that, and the other. Yeah. Every single person in that room, and I mean it, bar that junior anaesthetist, was a woman.
So he walked into like 20 women, and I just went, yes. We are having a girl. We must be. It's just going to happen. Jay was like, well, I don't know. It's just crazy. Literally, there's no men in there. So I was like, cool. And then you sit there, and then you have that in your back, which I don't like needles, but I mean, that's fine.
So that's not an epidural. That's a spinal tap?
Spinal block
or something.
Is that right? Yeah, something like that.
So more hardcore than an epidural. It completely freezes everything.
You can't feel anything.
You're shut down from there,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah. But yep.
And then just lots of washing around in my tummy is like a washing machine.
What's that mean?
They're just kind of...
So you can't feel anything. You just hear...
No, it's like your tummy is a washing machine. Like, they're literally tugging you around, but you can't... It's like a dull feeling.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's a lot.
Sort of making me feel slightly wheezy.
Yeah. I'm so intrigued.
Honestly, it's so strange. I'm thinking they're going, Joe, have they done it yet? Have they done it yet? Because I'm just thinking, oh, gosh, I can't... I don't even like it in here. And then lots of pulling and tugging, and all of a sudden you've got this baby, and then she cried, didn't she? And I was like, oh, my gosh, it's a girl. Because I thought I was having a boy. And then... They then sorted me all out, and then that was it.
Yeah,
I went into recovery, and then I've sit there literally 5-10 minutes later. I've got this newborn baby, and I'm going, she's chilling, she's fine, she's not stressed, nothing. And then I'm feeding her, and I'm thinking, I literally was like, this is surreal. This is so strange, because I'd spent 3 days with Ace or whatever it was, and it was all up and down, and you know what it's like going through labour, and then I didn't have any of that. It was really, really, so it's a completely different experience.
What about the feelings after the planned C-section in terms of hormonal, emotional stuff?
Wasn't half as bad.
Right.
I walked out of the hospital the next day. I was in quite a lot of pain, but I just got in the car and was like, I just need to go home. But emotions, I wasn't... And as well, I think when you've got another little one, you don't really want to let yourself maybe get to that point. Mm. I'm always thinking, what's Ace thinking? Or I don't want him to see me upset, or... Oh, trust me, I cry because I cry. I'm emotional. I have a lot of tears. But I don't know. I wasn't as bad, was I?
No, you weren't. And I think partly it was down to the process and kind of what we've been, you know, going through. That was a lot more relaxed. Mm. You know, we'd had a decent night's sleep the night before. Mm. You know, things like that, I think, make
you're
a huge difference.
You're properly prepared, aren't you?
Mentally,
you
know mentally.
That tomorrow you're meeting your baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It made a huge difference. And for us, obviously, having the experience of an emergency versus that experience is just so much more chilled. Mm. I mean, you should have seen me. I walked into the hospital with about 4 bags. Cause I was like, if we're here for 4 days,
honestly,
we're prepared. And I remember the midwife looked at me and she said, can you put some of those bags back in the car? And I said to him, no. We might be here for a long time. And so I need all of the bags. And then in hindsight, obviously, we left the next day. And I was like, okay, now I understand why she was so put out. The fact that I've got these 4 bags, I've got a food bag, I've got water cooler, I've got drink. I literally had
the man
it
was
all
prepared.
He was. He's been there before. He had to wear my clothes last time.
Oh, man.
I feel like every parent does that from 1 to 2, because you literally, the first time around, you think, oh, I'll just be in and out. And then it's days, and it can be days and days.
Yeah. I only brought one baby grow the first time around.
Yeah.
One baby grow, and I brought myself 4 outfits. And then the midwife was like, who packed this bag? Like, expecting me to say, oh, like, he did it. And he was like, she did it.
That is hilarious.
Like, but there's nothing for the baby. I was like, oh, I sort of forgot about that.
Yeah, but you put a lovely range of loungewear for you, G.
Yeah, loads of loungewear.
So brilliant.
What would you say to any parents who are kind of just about to go through that first labour? Because you've obviously had 2 very, very different experiences. Mm. So what's the kind of advice or tips that you would give people in that situation?
Stay calm. Be prepared for any situation, like anything happening. I always say that to our friends, don't I? Yeah. I know, have your plan, but, you know, things change. And don't be scared when they change. So it is about teamwork, no matter who it is. Whoever your person is, just rely on that person, and that person needs to be there for you. And enjoy the moment, because it is a beautiful moment, having a baby, isn't it? No matter what happens, even if it's a trauma or if it's dramatic, when that baby's in your arms, it all goes away for those few moments. And it's such a beautiful thing, it's a miracle, really.
Mm. I feel quite sad sometimes that I'm never going to go through it again. And I'm slightly jealous that, gee, you're about to go through it again in that feeling. Yeah, because it's just so, isn't it? You go through it and it's a real labour, but that moment, I'm never going to experience it again.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to having a newborn again.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that is lovely. And so what about you guys? Are you going to have any more?
I'll let Chloe answer that.
No, that we can answer that.
Well, I mean, if it was up to me, then I would definitely go again.
And if it was up to me, I'm done.
Really?
But I've got a boy and a girl. I mean, going through all of that with your body again. I mean, I love being pregnant. Maybe I'll be pregnant for someone else. I don't know. But gosh, it's just so much, isn't it? Your body goes through so much. Mm-hmm. But and these children are so expensive.
I know.
Yeah. So I'm like, Jay, you know, this is a whole other load of money here.
Yeah. But like, is he going to win?
Oh, he keeps going, you're 30. I was like, Kiara's not even a year yet. She's nearly... Well, I don't know. I just like, do you know, I don't even know.
Do you know what? I mean, we've got a decent gap between Ace and Kiara. Obviously, we've got a boy and a girl. So, you know, I'm not... There's certainly no pressure from my side.
Of course there is.
Of course not.
No, there isn't. Not at all.
Are you kidding me? The other day when we were trying to... I was throwing away, shall we get rid of the Moses basket, babe?
Yeah.
No. Pack it in the garage. Shall I get rid of the baby grows that, you know, 0 to 3 because she's not going to work? No, put it back in the garage. What are you trying to tell me?
I'm just saying, at some point in the future
we might need it again.
Yeah,
I think he needs to find another wife.
I am a bit of a hoarder, to be fair, and you know, I come from a big family. That's the problem. So you know, I've got cousins. In fact I've got cousins I've not even met before. You know, I've got a lot of family.
What's your mum one of?
My mum's one of 13
and,
my dad's one of 9.
There you go. See, I'm not doing that.
Are you kidding? That's a huge family.
Wow. That's a massive family.
See, my dad's one of 9 or 8. But he only had one.
Yeah, see, I mean...
Maybe we should have stopped at Ace.
I just love it. I love the idea of having a big family. But to be honest, I mean, the thing for me is I would be happy probably to go one more and then be done.
See, I'm not. Yeah. I want 2 or 4.
You want so if you
so
go
even,
again, it's going to be 2.
Numbers.
Listen, guys, I think in 12 months' time, you might come back in here and be like, meet Petulia.
Or twins, then you get 4.
No,
this is what Ace keeps saying, and we're just like, Ace, unspeak that.
Just quickly, JB, any dads or birthing partners or mums who didn't give birth who are listening who want to kind of know how to help in those first kind of couple of months? Because it seems like you are fully hands-on. I'd like to know those kind of tips.
I might hire him out, actually.
Yeah, he seems great. He can come round to my house and
he's
help.
He's pretty good.
Definitely. Yeah. Do you know what? I think it's all about just being prepared. And, you know, for me, you don't know everything. I mean, especially if it's your first, you know, nothing really can prepare you for what it's like hands-on. You've got to be flexible. But for me, I always just do as much research as you can, you know, and whether it's reading whatever books or going online, you know, be selective about what you pick up and then apply. But at the same time, for me, just kind of, you know, if you're having a problem with, you know, the baby not feeling right or whatever, or you're not getting the hang of the bottles, or, you know, if there's something that's going on, then kind of just, you know, being up on it and being able to read and help out, you know, because especially with Ace, you know, with the first time with breastfeeding and stuff like that, it's new for Chloe too, even though obviously she's doing the work, so to speak. But if you can just help and say, oh no babe, why don't you try this, or you know, I mean, just to be able to add that extra layer of support, for me that's kind of I believe it's the best way to kind of to get ahead. And then yeah, just be prepared to do the dog work, you know, do the hard work, you know, tidy up, pick up the stuff, you know, look after the baby. For me, it was a great way to bond with Ace, doing all the nappies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And obviously Chloe couldn't really bend over or pick up and things like that. So, you know, I'd kind of get up, change his nappy, make sure he was fine, and then she would do the feeding and I could kind of go back to sleep. So it was a bit of a
team effort.
Yeah. So rather than her complaining all the time that I get to sleep or me being really frustrated because I'm doing stuff all the, you know, or whatever, actually I'd get up and get him, change him, and then she didn't have to do anything. If he fell back asleep, she could just kind of
pretty good,
then,
isn't he?
He's very good.
But I mean, as it should be. Like, there's all this kind of like, sorry, because it is a great thing, but also it is for two people.
It is a teamwork.
You know,
it
you
is.
Make the baby together, you share the workload.
For
I'm sorry. That's what I think.
Absolutely.
So you are, you sound like a mega dad, but so you should be.
As you say, I think it's a joint effort, you know, and there are times, no matter what you're doing, no matter what you're going through, especially with children, there are times when you're exasperated and you're over it, and vice versa. There's times when, for, you know, Chloe feels like that. And for me, that's a time when you know, you just say, give me the baby for 2 minutes or 10 minutes or an hour or whatever.
Go and sit
it is.
On the step and cry.
Yes.
You know, we had a couple of moments like that, didn't we?
Yep. I need a moment. I need to hear no screaming. I just want to cry on the set. Then I'll come back in.
On a toilet holiday, as we call it. Yeah. You go and lock yourself in the toilet and you feel like you've had 2 weeks in Barbados.
Yes.
Exactly. I did. Yeah. And similarly, you know, this time when I got frustrated because I'm just like, well, what do you need? You know, like, you know, it's not as natural, I guess, and arguably, should I say, for me, as I say, Chloe's quite maternal as a woman. So, you know, she just naturally know how to, well, this is Ace, and a little bit Kiara, you know, soothe him and put him down. And, you know, with Ace, he was more difficult to put down.
Yeah, because he loved the boob.
Yeah.
Yeah, the boys love the boobs.
The boys love the boob.
Yeah.
So I just struggled. I was just like, I can't put him down. Every time I put him down, he moves and then he screams. And then, and he wasn't really a, you know, hugely cry, you know, crying baby, but it was just hard. With Kiara, she's so much easier. Like, literally, I can take her, put her down, and she'll put herself to sleep. So it's just, you know, she's just different.
Every baby's so different, isn't it?
Absolutely. So you just kind of got to go with the flow and yeah, as I say, just be that
good tips
support.
Yeah, love that from you. At the end of every podcast.
Yeah, so at the end of every podcast, we like to ask people what their 5 favourite products are. So considering we've been talking about labour today, maybe tell us 5 of the things you packed in those 4 bags.
Oh my goodness.
Muslins.
Oh, must.
They're a must.
Big and small.
Yeah. Big and small ones.
Yeah, the massive big ones. And the small ones.
I feel like muslins become like a shoe obsession.
Oh yeah,
like,
no,
you're just like, oh, I found these muslins. It's like, yeah, but we've got 50 at home. No. Oh no, these ones are the best ones.
These ones have got avocados on them.
Yeah. I don't think you understand. I have so many, like we 2 do. Drawers worth.
Has he let you throw any up? No,
I'm not throwing
for baby
them,
number 3.
I see
to be
how
fair,
you're
we
working.
Have so many small ones now. We didn't use half the muslins that we used for Ace and with Kiara. That's for sure.
Yeah, muslins are a must.
Yeah, but they're definitely muslins. A must. you need a cap.
Like a hat.
For the baby, yeah.
Yep.
Definitely.
Is this for the baby bag? Yep.
Yeah, if this is
labour. Or just anything that helped you during labour.
You need an iPod and some
well,
speakers.
You never played anything.
I did.
I was really annoyed at you.
No, I did.
When?
What do you mean? Before all the madness happened, we were playing it.
Did we?
Yes.
No, I don't remember.
Can't remember.
I was annoyed at him. I thought, why did he make me a playlist?
but he did. She doesn't remember it. All the hard work.
Did you make me a playlist?
Yeah.
Oh no, we were
put it on later. Think of us.
that's a good 3. Tip. 2 more.
What about for you, Chloe? Is there anything that you?
Oh, just those big knickers.
Oh yeah, like, what from really M&S? The big ones.
Yeah, the ones. High waisted. Especially when you didn't. I didn't know I was having a section. Chuck a couple of those in because I then needed them. Yeah. Really big, high. Yeah, the ones that come under the bra.
Dozer found mine the other day in the laundry and he was like, what are these?
I know.
And
I was
like,
I still
oh my god,
them.
Give
oh,
them
I
back.
Still.
No, you can,
them.
No, you can use them as I'm now using them as like a polishing for like the wooden table.
Oh. Or just wear them.
I still wear them,
I can't. They bring back too many horrible memories for me.
Yeah, fair enough.
What else?
One more.
Any maternity bras that you loved?
Oh yeah, just recently with Kiara.
Because you're still breastfeeding.
Yes, Mamba bra.
Yeah,
really like. So you've got the numbers on each side.
Number bra.
Mamba.
Oh, Mamba.
So it's got 1, 2, 3, 4. So you know when you first feed and you forget which boob you're on, it tells you can actually like click it onto the right number. Then you pull it down and your whole boob isn't out. It's like a sports bra.
Okay.
So it's like just cover and it's black and white colour for the baby to look at. So it helps them go to your boob. So that is brilliant. That is a brilliant bra.
Wow. We haven't heard of that.
And it's like a sports bra.
Love that.
So it's very comfortable.
Can you get it online?
Yep. Mamba bra. Mm. Yeah.
Mm. Going to check that out now.
Really straight good. Onto Google.
Trust me, I got every colour. That's all I wore for, well, still am.
And it's good for privacy because obviously throughout, as I say, like with us, we're busy all the time, always out, always doing stuff, always travelling. And you can kind of breastfeed on the go. And I mean, I'm very much a feminist in that sense because for me, if a woman's breastfeeding, so what? Do you know what I mean? So I'm very much against all these establishments that think that it's outrageous for them to be breastfeeding them. But obviously, I also appreciate the fact that, you know, decency is necessary. But it's brilliant for that. So, you know, you can. Yeah. It's just got basically all the essentials
it's
and
really
whatever out. And baby can do what it needs to do.
Brilliant.
You can feel
Mamba
covered.
Bra.
Everyone's happy.
Mamba bras.
I'm going to get you. You know, I haven't got your present yet, G. I'm sorry.
What?
I'm
no,
going to get you a Mamba bra.
Gift.
No.
No.
Sounds pretty great. Sounds great. Okay. Guys, thank you so much.
Thank
that
you.
Is all we've got time for. I feel like we could sit and chat all day.
Absolutely.
You've been
us.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
Thanks
you.
For having us.
So, as with every episode, we're going to round up talking about our five favourite products. And because we're talking about birth, I think it's only natural we talk about what we're going to pack in our hospital bag.
The hospital bag.
Yes.
Is yours packed?
No.
God,
it's not.
God, Georgia.
And as we record this, I'm actually 38 weeks pregnant.
It could happen right now.
The baby's is packed, so.
And all we've got in the studio with us are Haribo.
Yeah.
We'll be all right.
I haven't got my birth notes or anything. So for me, the first thing is PJs. I have just been to Primark and bought, I think, about 6 pairs of PJs, and they are fantastic. And I'll be taking a couple of nighties into hospital with me, and then I've got some snazzy ones for when I get home and I have lots of visitors and I don't feel like I've got to get dressed up.
So are you going
to
be in a nightie in the hospital, kind of mooching around?
I've got a nightie. Yeah, Primark nightie, and then a thin dressing gown.
Nice.
Because I think last time I just ended up wearing a cami and then a thin dressing gown.
Sexiest birthing lady ever. So yes, and I actually, do you know what? I think you should talk about this product because you are about to go into labour.
Yeah, so Clary Sage Oil, I'm going to put this in my bag. So last time when I had Axel and I had the epidural, my labour started to slow down. And the midwife had a little piece of card and she just put it under my nose and told me to smell it. And it brought all the contractions back on and it sped straight back up again. It's taken me ages to find out what this was.
Were you thinking it was like Chloe perfume?
I just don't know what it was.
Smells lovely.
But you can get it from Holland & Barrett and apparently it's supposed to help with like your contractions and speed and all that kind
so
of stuff.
So speeding up.
So I will be, yes, I'll be packing that in my bag.
Okay, so along the lines of kind of PJs, I became obsessed with leggings and I took 4 pairs into the hospital with me because I was, you know, it's a messy affair after you give birth. And leggings became like my staple afterwards as well. I used to wear a pair of black leggings or kind of khaki ones and then a really cool oversized jumper and some like Superga trainers and like a leather jacket or a denim jacket. So they're a really good kind of post-baby outfit because you don't want to be wearing an oversized jumper and some really, really baggy pants as well because you can feel, you know,
and also they're really
lost,
comfy.
I think is the word. Yeah, super comfy.
Yeah, and there's so many nice ones out there now. Like, there's a brand called Yoga Legs, which I really like.
Really, we love those.
They're bright and jazzy.
Yeah,
but
and then if you go to the Love Leggings website, they have got some incredible pairs on there and I've got about, I don't know, potentially about 10 in my wardrobe still. I'm still loving the leggings.
We love leggings. So something for actually during labour, I've packed the Clinique Moisture Surge spray. So it's like a cooling spray, but not like the Evian ones you get. It actually sort of plumps your skin up and puts moisture back into your skin, especially when you're in the hospital, your skin can really suffer. So yeah, I've packed that this time round.
Just a nice little
Yeah, exactly.
Nice.
Yeah, just to freshen up.
Nice. And then finally, we're going to round off with snacks. I cannot stress enough, if you are a first-time mum about to have a baby, do not forget to tell your husband
to
or your
snacks.
Partner to bring snacks to the hospital with you because, you know, if you go in there without them, you could be in there for 2 or 3 days and it's a nightmare.
Yeah,
So obviously try and keep them, well, we like to try and keep them as healthy as possible, but, you know, if you need salt and vinegar squares
to
at that
honest,
point, just get involved.
I'm actually going to go to the cinema and get the
pick a mix. I knew you were going to say that. We love Squirrel Sisters.
Yes, they're fab.
They
really fab.
Are fantastic. These are like health bars that give you energy and just kind of give you a little boost. And yeah, I'm hoping that you're going to be taking yours.
I will be taking some.
Thanks, Squirrel Sisters. Right, that is it from us this week. As always, you can rate, review and subscribe to the podcast. And we would absolutely love it if you give us a little 5-star review as well. Please, pretty please. And of course, you can contact us as well.
So at Made by Mamas on Instagram, or if you want to chat to Zoe directly at Zoe Hardman.
Yes, and we're going to be back next week with more chats.
Yeah.
We'll still be chatting. We'll see you then.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.